Thank you, Joyce. Good morning, everyone. My former student. I'm thrilled to be here today to share with you some work I've been doing in the last several years to advance the field of health impact assessment and what I believe to be a clear application relevant to the field of injury prevention and control. I have no disclosures or conflicts of interest. Let me acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, Marjorie Givens, who was formerly at the Health Impact Project, and Gregory Tung from the Colorado School of Public Health. In our time today, I'm going to define health impact assessment, talk a little bit about its approach and its methods, and I'm going to present to you really briefly three examples of HIAs that have considered injury and violence prevention. And then I'm going to wrap up my time today by making the case as to why those of us in this room who are focused on injury and violence prevention should be aware of and involved in HIAs. So I wanted to just start by telling you about my experience with health impact assessment and why I feel qualified to give this talk today. I've been in the field since around 2009. I'm an HIA practitioner. I've been working and conducting health impact assessments, most recently one of a federal decision by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, looking at a proposed rule for designated housing for folks with disabilities and seniors. That work is being presented tomorrow by a colleague of mine. I'm also an HIA researcher. I've been doing evaluation work in HIA for several years. I'm presenting some of that on Wednesday at 10:30 in a session on HIA if you're interested. And I'm also an HIA instructor. I developed a course at Hopkins on health impact assessment. We just published a paper developing a model curriculum for HIA that just came out in the International HIA Journal a couple of months ago. And I've been really thinking about how do we connect HIA with injury prevention and control, which is my love, and this is a tool that's been developing and has been growing rapidly in the U.S. Here's a paper that we, Marjorie and Greg, my co-authors on this, published on behalf when I was on the board on SAVOR, from SAVOR, where we talked about how HIAs can really advance the field of injury and violence prevention. So if you're interested, you can look at that in injury prevention. So I want to just make sure we're all on the same page. I wanted to define health impact assessment. The National Research Council put forward a committee a few years ago, and they came out with this definition. An HIA is a structured process that uses a variety of data, professional experience, and stakeholder engagement to identify the potential health effects of a problem. So this is not evaluation. This is during the decision-making phase where you are conveying to the decision-maker how health could be affected by that decision. HIA is most powerful when the decision is not in the health sector. So this is a way to engage folks in other sectors, and so we use HIA for decisions on transportation decisions, for example, housing, things related to fiscal decisions in terms of state governments and budgets. And I'll show you a slide in a little bit about a variety of topics that HIAs have been applied to. And the HIAs are also used to develop recommendations to maximize those positive health effects that come up from your analysis and minimize those negative ones. So some of the key points for health impact assessment, there is all the time a specific decision. So you're looking at a decision being made, again, most oftentimes in the sector outside of health. HIAs use a broad analytic framework. So the assessment phase of health impact assessments, which are used to understand what the current state of the health is in that community and to do the impact assessment, involves a variety of methods. So qualitative methods, quantitative methods, economic methods, and putting all of those methods together to then put forward how health could be affected by that decision. HIAs involve collaboration with stakeholders, stakeholders broadly defined, including the individuals who will be affected by that decision, all the way through to the decision makers themselves. This is a pragmatic process. Our goal here is not to develop some report that sits on a shelf, but it's to make recommendations that are translated to the decision makers. Again, we want to maximize those positive health effects and minimize those negative ones. And this is focused upstream, again, before the decisions are made. And it's very solutions focused, coming up with pragmatic recommendations to improve health. Health impact assessments are focused on those determinants of health. So the question is, how does a proposed project, policy, or plan affect housing, parks and natural space, education, inequities, and ultimately how do those effects lead to health outcomes? These are the steps of a health impact assessment process. I won't go through all of them, but why I show you this is that this is a systematic process that involves very defined steps. And ultimately, as I mentioned earlier, stakeholder engagement is key, and stakeholder engagement can happen at every single one of these steps. So, for example, the health impact assessment we're working on now with HUD, we went out around the country and did focus groups and key informant interviews with individuals who lead public housing authorities. We also met with residents of those public housing authorities to talk about how this proposed rule could affect health. Because having one job wasn't enough for me, I recently took over as the interim director of the Health Impact Project, which is a collaboration of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Pew Charitable Trusts. We are about an $8 million initiative. A lot of that money goes back out of the door to build the field of health impact assessment. We fund demonstration grants and program grants around the country. And our goal is to make health a routine consideration of public policy making. These are some of our primary strategies. Again, we're growing the field by supporting HIAs. We're developing tools and systems so that folks in other sectors can include health impact assessment or health in their decisions. For example, we have a partnership with the American Planning Association where we're developing a toolkit where in planning decisions, they can routinely consider health. Did you get that one, Steve? Okay, great. All right. This is a map that shows the growth of health, actually shows where we are right now in terms of health impact assessments around the country. So the Health Impact Project was started in 2009, and at that time there were about 27 or 30 or so HIAs that were completed. This map shows you now how many are completed and in progress around the U.S. As the Health Impact Project, we're really focusing on the states in blue, trying to build capacity there, doing a lot of train the trainer, and helping to identify opportunities where we can educate decision makers on health. California has had the most growth in health impact assessments. They've been doing this work for a very long time. I should say as a field in the U.S., HIAs have only been around since around 1999. The very first HIA, or the thing we call HIA, was conducted in San Francisco. This slide just summarizes what topics HIAs have addressed. So this takes all the 319 and sort of breaks it down. Most have been in the built environment, right? So those of us interested in injury prevention and control who are focused on pedestrian safety, walkability, this is really a great opportunity for us because folks in public health mostly are working with individuals in planning and in community development to think about how decisions being made affecting the built environment could improve health. Clearly, reducing injury is a part of that. There's also been a lot of HIAs in transportation, housing, labor and development, and other issues like climate change, fiscal budgets at a state legislature. And HIAs are always applied to programs or a policy or a project. Applying HIAs to policy is an area I'm particularly interested in and have been doing a lot of work in that for the last few years. So in terms of who usually leads an HIA, most of them are government agencies. Again, this is a really great opportunity for us to partner with our health departments who are working with planning departments and transportation departments to actually conduct health impact assessments. The CDC many years ago made an investment in HIA. They've funded some additional cities this past year to build capacity. So this is an approach that people are recognizing as a way to advance the public's health because we know that health departments on their own cannot improve public health on their own. They need to work across sectors. They need to work with other agencies. And this tool is a proven way to make that happen. So I want to just tell you just three brief examples of how HIAs have been considering injury and violence prevention. This is an HIA that was conducted by some folks in Ohio looking at smart metering technology. So this is the ability for an electric utility provider to remotely connect or disconnect someone's electric service. So this health impact assessment looked at this proposal to say we're going to implement smart metering technology in this particular community. And the health outcomes are ones that we care about. So the ones in red, carbon monoxide poisoning, residential fires and injury-related deaths. So this particular health impact assessment said, what are all the ways that health could be affected by this decision? And they actually quantified the risk, increased risk of carbon monoxide poisoning, fires and related deaths in the home. And they really looked at this by a pathway that said for low-income individuals, if they lost electricity suddenly, how would they then supplement that by using their stove or using other sources of energy to heat their home or to have light? Health impact assessments also focus a lot on equity, so looking at vulnerable populations and disparities. So they also looked at how this particular decision could affect elderly and low-income or disabled people. And I'll just say that one of the findings from this health impact assessment was that they did some increased education on the smart metering technology, and they also implemented a way that they would monitor and track for the risks related to these potential injury risks. A second HIA, this one was Greg Tung from Colorado contributed on this one, and we all know what's happening in Colorado in terms of medical marijuana and marijuana broadly, and so this HIA looked at packaging regulations for retail marijuana, something we don't often think about injury risks. But if we think about poisoning, we think about choking, we think about the packaging that people can buy the marijuana in, there were clear risks for injury here. And these were just some of the recommendations that came out of this health impact assessment that Greg was involved in, where recommendations were child-resistant packaging should be opaque, should be reclosable. There were allowances that should be made to reuse appropriate child-resistant packages. And these results were translated directly to the legislative body, which ultimately included some of these recommendations into the regulations for the packaging. I'm going to briefly tell you about a HIA I've been more closely involved with, and that's the Baltimore City Zoning Code rewrite. So in 2008, the City of Baltimore launched an effort to rewrite the zoning code. And this HIA focused on issues we care about, so physical activity in the built environment. So thinking about pedestrian injuries, for example. It also thought about and included issues related to violent crime, alcohol density. So we can see how a zoning policy to change the built environment has significant impacts for injury prevention and control. This is just a brief and very simplified pathway diagram talking about, well, how might zoning affect crime? And this is right out of the HIA report done by some colleagues at the Johns Hopkins Children's Center. And so basically what this is showing is that by making changes to zoning, it would affect, for example, alcohol outlets. That was one pathway they looked at, and looking at the increase in crime. And then there were also recommendations or analysis looking at the pedestrian-oriented environments. And so thinking about lighting, landscape, setbacks. So all of these issues, again, if we think about changes to our zoning code, changing our built environment, these were some of the injury risks that were included in this health impact assessment. And just to give you an example of some of the recommendations that came out of this HIA, there were ones related to pedestrian safety, where in the recommendations for mixed-use development, it talked about having sidewalks, it talked about having a built environment that facilitated walking. There were also recommendations related to off-premises alcohol sales, clear impacts for violence and crime. So not only did the analysis highlight this, but in terms of the recommendations, it said, how do we reduce the risk of violence and crime? And finally, there were recommendations related to crime prevention through environmental design, or STEPTED, and said, here are some particular strategies that can be implemented in the Baltimore City environment that were included in the zoning code to reduce these risks. So let me just mention some reasons why I think folks in this room who are injury prevention control folks should think about HIA. HIAs are a way to illuminate these unintended injury and violence risks for non-health decisions. Again, we're talking about decisions being made in other sectors, so transportation, planning, housing, all settings that we work in to reduce the risk of injury, and we can really have an opportunity to work upstream and to say, while this decision is being made, before the decision being made, here's how injury can be reduced. Many of these HIAs, I said earlier, targeted the built environment, and they commonly address injury-related health pathways. Those of us in this room who have expertise in data sources and metrics, we can help to quantify those potential risks. We can direct our colleagues to data sources so they can have precise estimates of those methods. And finally, we can think about how do we inform those recommendations. We know what those evidence-based recommendations are to reduce injury. We can work closer with our colleagues conducting health impact assessments to ensure that those evidence-informed recommendations are included in the health impact assessment findings. And as I mentioned earlier, HIAs really focus an emphasis on prevention. Efforts are more upstream before the decision is made. So we're trying to figure a way to address injury before the decisions are being made. So with that, and I'm on time, I wanted to just give you some more information. Again, the Health Impact Project, that map I showed you, we have a searchable map on our website where you can actually click on health impact assessments. You can search for ones related to the built environment or planning and see how they've actually approached these issues. There's a professional society for HIA. If you're interested in learning more about health impact assessment, our third national HIA meeting is coming up in June in D.C. And feel free to contact me. My email address is up here. I'm in D.C. about 2 or 3 days a week, but you can always find me over email because my Hopkins email still works. So thank you very much. And we have time for questions?
We do.
All right. Thank you.